Have you ever found yourself in a conversation with your kids where it seems like you're speaking different languages? Well, you're not alone. In this episode, we're diving deep into family communication with Ciris Raquel Rivas Verdejo. We'll explore how our bodies speak to us, how intuition works with family members, and the practice of listening to our bodies as having an internal knowing. When we listen to that internal knowing, a lot of life becomes easier. And wouldn't we love that? Today, get ready to stand up and try a few techniques that Ciris, a fellow speech-language pathologist, shares with us. And now this episode leads really well into a special invitation that I want to extend to all of you parents who are navigating the journey of speech and language development with your kiddos. We have an upcoming webinar titled Beyond Obedience, Unveiling the Power of Listening in Kids. It's not just about learning, but it's about learning together. And together we will explore what impacts your kids' ability to listen, whether or not they have a speech or language delay. So mark your calendars and get ready to join in for that empowering and informative session. And this interactive webinar will be helpful for you to understand if your child is not listening willfully versus what might be standing in the way, and maybe it isn't actually disobedience. In the show notes, you will find the registration link. Be sure to share the link with your friends and family that live or work with children. And also, share the link to this episode. Does your child have a speech-language delay and you really want them to talk? Do difficult behaviors derail home life and you know the frustration is a communication struggle? Does your child see a speech therapist and you wonder, what do they do and how can I help? If these or similar questions are in your mind, this podcast is for you. Hello, my name is Dina Lynn Rosenbusch. I am a speech-language pathologist that has worked with children from birth to 21 for 3 decades. And in my classrooms, I see you wanting to connect with the heart of your child, but their speech and language skills create a barrier. So if you have a kiddo that has difficult behaviors, needs to expand their language or learn to say speech sounds, and maybe even receives speech therapy, stay tuned, because in this podcast, you will learn how to use your daily life as a tool to communication practice and how to do that practice. You will become confident knowing you are making the difference you want to make. And you will hear success stories of parents who have navigated these struggles already. We'll do this all while focusing on building deep, meaningful connection and confidence in your kiddo. So grab a cup of coffee along with a notebook and pen. It's time to speak in the way your child's brain understands. And that is the language of play. Hello, listeners. I'm so glad you're here today. Ciris Raquel Rivas Verdejo is the owner of Empowering Light Language, LLC. She works with busy individuals and families to improve their communication and self-care, facilitated by greater connection with their bodies, empowered by a greater awareness of how their language impacts their lives. She is a, listen to this, family child coach, body relationship coach, speech language pathologist, learning behavioral specialist, feeding therapist, and therapeutic energy worker. That's a lot of stuff. She infuses energetic techniques, cutting-edge psychology, and results-driven empowering tools and strategies into her coaching, her private sessions, classes, and workshops. After more than 17 years of working with individuals, families, schools, and clinics, she has developed a poignant, dynamic, and unique approach that honors the little girl who she was, who always knew more was possible for those who are different, magical, and a gift to the world. She's the host of Choosing a Different Future podcast, and she lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, 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 Ciris. I'm so glad you're here. How did I do with pronouncing your name correctly?
Phenomenal, phenomenal. You don't need speech therapy. We are good to go.
Thank you. I actually practiced because I don't speak Spanish, and that is a beautiful name.
You actually did it with the Spanish R. A lot of people will do the English R. That's like series. Like, and so no, you did a great job.
I tried to mimic you. My speech pathology skills were working.
You got a good ear.
Good. So thank you for coming on today. You are talking about a topic that is near and dear to me, and that is the connection that is born in language, and also the energy that happens because of the language we choose to use, the actual words and the power that is within the words, and how our children perceive what we say and what we talk to ourselves about, all that energy. Thank you for addressing it from your perspective. And I'm eager to have this conversation. Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to geeking out some more about it. Because when we were talking about, well, there's so many different topics we were debating about. And this was one of the ones that we were like, we could talk about this for so long. But I'm going to keep myself succinct. So yeah, I think that one of the things I love about language is, and I always have since a very young child, is that it would put these, like these wand strokes to the things that I was aware of as a kid that I didn't know I was aware of. And then someone would say something and then I would be like, well, that fits the stuff that I'm seeing, these molecules and things that I'm seeing move around. And then you would be aware when someone say something, and it'd be like this like thunk in the world, like in my world. Like, you know, when you talk to somebody and it lands and you're like, yeah, what was received?
Yeah.
Fascinated. One knows when you're being received, when someone's really getting what you're saying, there's a flow. There's movement there. It's like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. It keeps going back and forth. My favorite sound effects, and this is the speech language pathologist and the Latina in me, is the ping, boom, ping, boom. It's there, right? And then when you say something or someone says something and there's just like, oh, like a heaviness, that's how I used to perceive. And it's gotten louder and clearer over the years of practice. When something's not really true, when something's not really being received, when someone's not receptive to what I'm saying, I was like, okay, got it. Got to reroute. Got to do something else. And it's super helpful for families and parents to know about this so that they know, okay, am I actually talking in a way with my child that they're going to get? Mm-hmm. Am I talking with my partner in a way that they're going to be able to co-create something together here? Or do we need to change our language?
I think this is fantastic. I do think that we need to break down what it is that you've said. Because when we talk about the whoosh and the bink bonk, we need to identify that a little bit differently. When we're talking with a child, and here's what I'm understanding, and you can take it and run. What I'm understanding is if we say something, or the child says to us, but I'll just say from us to the child, just so we have a vehicle to work with. We say something to the child and it doesn't land. They don't really understand it, or they disagree. That's the thunk. Right?
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily then going to do what we say. And it might be that it didn't land because they didn't quite get it, but they're not going to work with us.
Yes. There isn't that partnership there. For me personally, be it an adult child, I don't care what the age, I'd like there to be this partnership where both of us together are connecting, are able to voice what we need, are able to provide ideas, and then together we decide what we're going to do with those ideas and create some new possibilities together. So yes, one of the easiest ways that I find to be very clear on this is to actually know what that lightness, what that yes, when something true is for you.
That's because what I was going to ask next.
Yeah. If you don't really know what's true for you, it's going to be harder when you add another person or people, like families are often more than one person involved. It's harder to know what that is, what's actually going to work for your family if you don't really know what's working for you. I'd love to play with you on this and see if we can get our yes and no today, because it could be different any day. And for every person, it's a little bit different. And I'm curious for you what it's going to be today. And I'm curious for me what it's going to be today. And then I'd love for your listeners to let us know in comment and see, okay, this is how it showed up for me, because I love hearing all the new ways.
I love doing these kind of practice, learn something new. Before we go on with it, we talked about the thunk, and that kind of down feeling is a no. And I think that growing up, I knew the no feeling better than I knew my yes feeling, because there wasn't this feeling of yes feeling. Yes energy wasn't talked about, but we can't ignore that thunk. Yet I know that we're not supposed to focus on that.
Well, I think that that's a gift. And I wonder if you recognize how unique you are with that, because a lot of people don't really have a no either. And so I think that's actually really amazing for you to say that you have that. I think a lot of people if they have a no, they ignore it because we're not told or taught in school by family to listen to yeses or nos at all.
Well, I definitely was taught to ignore it. I definitely was. Yes.
You're like, and bye.
Yes. And so I did learn how to ignore it. And in the last several years, I've been learning to retrieve it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, the fact that you know that is a huge first step. I think that the thump is how I feel and how a lot of the people feel it. But sometimes it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Like there's a vacuum and that's a no, or that's a yes. Or like I have some people that tell me that they perceive their yes as quiet. That for the first time all day, it's just nothing.
Interesting.
And that's their like harmony. So that's why I love exploring it with other people and not projecting what my yes and no is on anyone else. And just being like, let's have a conversation. Let's just see what it is for you today. And we keep our being affected by our day-to-day living, by the people that we're around, and our yeses and nos can shift. But I love checking in first thing in the morning before I brush my teeth, before I get out of bed. I go ahead and I say, okay, body, let's go ahead and play this. Are you ready? Are you going to do it?
Yes.
So body. And I give my body a hug and a squeeze because a lot of us are in our heads. So as to connect with our bodies, I might give my thighs or my knees a squeeze. And if this is the first time you've done this, I actually recommend doing this standing up because a lot of people will lock their knees or it's harder for them to perceive their yeses and nos seated. And then with practice, they'll get it no matter what position they're in, laying down, standing up, sitting down. And if you're standing, make sure your knees are loose and not locked because you can receive your yes and no through movement, forward, backward, side to side, a hip shake, a head shake. It can be a color comes up, a smell, a sound, just a knowing, or that stillness that we talked about. So these are just a couple of examples. And hug your bodies again, because even me talking about the examples, everyone's going in their head again. Wait, what? It could be that. It could be that. Yes. And more. And I love giving my body a hug. One, and you know about this, it's about having that connection and that proprioceptive awareness. So that awareness of your body in space. I learned this from my OT, my occupational therapy colleagues. I love OTs. And so that really was, right? If I was going to get another degree, which I have no interest in, I have to have enough. It would be occupational therapy for sure. Love them. So when we have that nice big old hug, we're with our bodies. We go ahead and close your eyes, knees soft or just really comfortable and loose wherever you're at. And let's ask our bodies, body, what's our yes today? And see what shows up. See, as I'm doing this, my head's shaking like a side to side, like a wave. It's like undulating. For some people, it might be a pull forward or a pull up. Or you smell cinnamon, lavender, color purple.
I think for me, it's more of like a brightness inside of me.
Isn't that interesting how your eyes are closed, but you feel like it's brighter all of a sudden?
Yes.
It's so cool. I've had that as well.
I've never had that before, or at least I shouldn't say I haven't had that because there have been times that I've wondered, what is that? But I've never actually experienced in this context. So now I'm going to have to explore that a little bit to see if that's common for me or not.
And just be in the question with it, because that's the other thing that's really interesting about following the energy is it's being willing for it to change and flow. And that's what's really important with families too. I get a lot of parents and a lot of kids when they have a rigidity, when they want to keep their kids like they're little babies. And they don't let them grow and empower them. Or when the kids are really rigid about routines, that's when a lot of that friction, that heaviness, that sticky icky starts to happen because we're not letting that energy flow. So this is another way to start looking at that and being willing, even with our yeses and nos, day to day, it can change. And then now let's ask the no. All right. Hug our bodies. Close your eyes. Soft knees. Deep breath. Let it all melt out. And body, what's our no today? And see what shows up.
Today, it's eye tension. That was really clear right here. It was like, no.
And for me, it was this like pulling from my chest, like downward. Like if someone was grabbing my sternum and like yanking it down. But okay. Other times it's a push backwards. Like I remember at one point in my life, my yes was forward and my no was backwards. And so let's say I'm at the grocery store and I'm like, hey, are we going to make this for dinner tonight? If it was a yes, my body would lean forward, like, absolutely, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And if it was a no, it would be like almost wanting to drop it, throw it back on the shelf. Like, absolutely not. Get away from that. That's not going to be good for you today. Now, what's really important, here's the thing, because if you have more than one person in your life, which most of us do, what if you said, what's our yes today? So if I like saying it with my families, what's our family's yes today? What's our family's no today? And then when you're making choices around mealtimes, around vacations, even if it's for a school, for one child, it's still going to affect the whole family. The commute, the energy level, the how the child behaves in that classroom or the homework, all of that will ripple out through the rest of the family. So if you include everyone's yes and everyone's no, and you make it really easy and succinct, you don't have to ask each individual one at a time. I like making it super fast, super easy for my family. So I ask them to get their families yes and their families no. And with practice, you start perceiving, oh, wow, that is not going to work for our family. Oh, wow, that's absolutely going to be a game changer and super awesome for our family. It's about having both and knowing that.
So when I have learned about intuition and how the energy flows in our bodies, I've been told to like tune in, spend this little bit of time tuning in. When you do this with a family, do you then have, like, for example, mom say, okay, everybody, we're going to do this as a family, and then have everybody like hug themselves and get themselves tuned in? Or is it just, for example, mom picking for the whole family? How do you do it or recommend it?
So I love having this be a discussion with the whole family because I feel like kids need to have this way sooner. Like us having this conversation now, I'm in my 40s. I started working, doing this type of work in my early 20s, perhaps. It would have been a game changer for me if I had it already in preschool and in kindergarten to have my yes, to have my no. And kids that age can already start doing that. I actually worked with when my goddaughter was born, within a few weeks, I was teaching her parents how to get the yes and no with her. They would hold her in front of them and they'd be like, okay, what's your yes? Okay, what's your no? And she would either coo or burp or get a scrunched up face. You know, babies are already doing things, right? And they would use that to know, okay, is it feeding time? Does she just have gas? Is it that she needs, is she cranky? Like, what is the thing? We need a new blanket. They would just get it really faster. So it lowered their anxiety so, so much. So for the little ones, yes.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was huge for them because they were both social workers and counselors, but they only ever worked with adults. So they were totally out of their element having this little baby. And they were like, Sadie's help. And it's a super simple tool, but it's so powerful because you can use it with every aspect of family life. Now, if you have preschoolers, if you have school age kids, I love having that as a part of the conversation and practicing that with them as they're going to school in the morning routine. Hey, what's your yes today? Let's hear, what's your no today? Having that as a part of the conversation. And when choices need to be made, you don't need to have the whole family there as a family meeting. Energy's everywhere. Even when your kiddo's in school, you can pick up on their energy and what's going on. How many times have you called your mom and they're calling you at the same time? You were thinking about each other, right? At the same time. The same thing goes for when your kids are somewhere else. You can just say, okay, in my family, we have Shaniel, we have Sira, we have Sulma, we have Siris, we have Justin, we have all these different people. Hey, everybody. And I'm just saying hi to all their bodies, even though they're not in the same physical room with me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, what's our yes as a family together today?
Okay.
And that's a very different yes than my individual yes. So sure. For you, let's go ahead because you have a whole tribe.
I do. So I'll just take a few of them. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What's our yes today?
So then you're telling me, I've never done this before. So this is new to me too, listeners here. Yeah. Like, I've never known that you can do this with the group the way Siris is talking. So I would name them and say, like you did, so, hey, Gwen, hey, Emma, hey, Cole, what is our yes today? I think I just rocked forward.
Yeah, I noticed that. I'm seeing you and I'm like, you can't even help. That's the thing. When you have your knees soft,
yeah,
you have a point of view, you're really connected to your body. Your body will move in ways you don't even think about. You can't even help but do it.
Right.
As long as you're not trying to hold really slow and controlled,
I shut my eyes so that I wouldn't like do things differently. I find that when I try to feel into this energy that is present, to be able to understand that God-given intuition we have, when I do that, if I have my eyes open, I'm distracted. When I shut my eyes, I can pay attention better.
Now, here's the thing. With practice, you can have your eyes open, shut. Like I said, laying down, sitting up, upside down in a cartwheel, you'll be able to pick up on this. But you give yourself a chance to be messy with it at first on your way to being awesome with it.
And I love that you started in your 20s. I started in my 50s.
It was because of my mom. So she was decades older than me when she first started this. And yet we all have gotten these little peaks. Like you had your no very clearly, even if you were ignoring it. So we are all been getting these messages and been these antennae for these information all our lives. It's just what models did we have to listen to it or not?
Right.
And so what's great about the platform that you provide for your community and your listeners is you're inviting people to actually get this, these tools and play with them sooner and pass that on to their kids, and the future generations get to benefit from it, which is awesome.
Right. And being the language of play, one of the things we talk about is the language that we use and how we can play with it, and it changes the energy. So I love how it just feeds right in. It's just a natural match.
And just the little small switch of like our as in you and me body versus our as in the whole family, that little small take of actually declaring who is all in my family right now. And look at that and like acknowledge it. And sometimes, you know, I did this with a family I was working with one time, and they actually were like, oh, wow, I need to include our neighbor, this neighbor boy, because he really is a part of our family. And oh my gosh, as soon as I did, oh, it was so soft and easy. It was so lovely. And so they really got to acknowledge how many people were in their chosen family. You get to choose. And how that's really powerful as well.
Right. It felt weird for me just to say my children's names and not include grandchildren and their spouses and like all the different things. It felt like a chop, but my list could get long. I didn't want to fill that in this podcast episode.
That's also just the initial time. You can say the whole family, all of them, and you don't have to list one by one if you'd like. Again, make it really easy for yourself. As long as you have their energy here and they're with you, they're with you. And one of the things that's really great about using this tool then, it's like, okay, is it time to talk or not? Is it time to have that one conversation that maybe I've been putting off with my partner or with my kids? I have a lot of families that come to me to talk about sex with their kids, especially now that there's so much confusion, so much change going on with LGBTQI and all the other alphabet soup of kids. Like, I have a family that's right now that's inquiring for my services because their child identifies as queer, but is also maybe something else. And it's kind of asking questions. And right now she's considered the daughter, but she wants to like remove her breasts. And the mom is very concerned about that, but she's teen. So there's a lot of, she's very aware, but then she also has ADHD. And so there's just this big mix of things. And one of the things that if I was working with her already, I would go to is, okay, let's look at the family's yes and the family's no. And then also look at, okay, is it time for us to have this conversation or is it later? And which is the bigger yes? Because sometimes it's yes. And sometimes it's like, yes, like really long, you know, and pick the one that's the biggest yes. A lot of people think it's just going to be yes or no. And it's actually sometimes no, and then even stronger of a no, like, please don't. And sometimes a yes, and even stronger of a yes. And when you wonder about this, it's like, why even choose yes or no? Like, why even have that? Is one of the questions I get asked a lot. And it's if you answer and follow and are guided by your family's yes and your individual yes, you'll have more of the things that will be a yes for you. Will be joyful, will be easy, will be expansive, lead to success. And if you go against your yes, you will be getting in the way, undermining you having the things that you'd like for your family that each person in your family and together would like. And so that's why the other reason I like having families know and have this tool in their repertoire, because then they actually get to have an easier time together versus a really messy, painful, resentful, all these different things that we're not wanting for our families.
Well, this is very, very fabulous information for everybody. Thank you for sharing this real basic, this ground foundational level understanding of how to understand how our bodies communicate with us and how that internal knowing is something that we can learn how to listen to. And when we learn how to listen to that, there's a lot of life that goes easier. And I am a student of this and it's fairly new to me, but I appreciate it so much. And I love how you're introducing it as a group, as a whole. I've not heard somebody talk the same way you're talking, yet I have experienced enough of this to know that it's an amazingly powerful tool.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for letting us play together with this. I love, love, love it. I know we could definitely talk more about the language piece, but if we start with this, you'll know which are the words to say or not say, which are the ones that are going to create more and open a door to more possibilities for your family, and which are actually going to close the doors and take your family backwards. And I think that your listeners, and definitely you, I know you'd like for all of us to have more forward momentum and more progress and ease. So thank you for being that in the world.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I think I could have this conversation for hours. Thank you, Siris, for being here today.
Hey, parents. I hope you found this episode helpful. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who also lives or works with children? I would really appreciate it if you would leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I read every review, and it lights me up to know that this show is making a difference. Then come join my Facebook community, where you'll meet other parents who are dedicated to helping their children grow too. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me. Now it's time to go. Let's pop our kiddos in the strollers and go look around outdoors and see what we have to talk about.